Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is cyberstationusa.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Good evening. Once again, this is Ted Hicks from Late Night Parents, ways to follow the show. LateNightParents.com. For those of you that are lazy, guess what? LNP.TV. Either way,
the following show is an encore presentation.
You'll find the latest podcasts, a whole archive of them, maybe 200-plus episodes. Maybe that's the way you'll spend your next week. Also, blogs and, of course, the Facebook and Twitter feeds. A lot of good stuff there, and guess what? We got a YouTube stream up there now. It's not live. Sorry. It's kind of like a best-of playlist. So that site, again, is latenightparents.com. And once again, I'm happy to have Sean Armour, good friend of mine, when I could say I've known someone for 40 years, and I'm not 50 yet. So, Sean, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, man, as always, our discussions, they get long in the tooth, and we can sit here and go back and forth over ideologies, and a lot has happened. There's a bunch of topics we'll jump into for some of you that know, and you may not know, we... our radio show that airs on WRAQ 92.7 and 1240 AM WGBB. It's a two-hour time slot. So what do you do for 2 hours?
So that's the big question. What do you do for 2 hours? I don't know. But if you are on time for your show, I can tell you what you need to do for 1 hour.
Listen to us
on AM 1240 WGBB. This is Ted Hicks.
This is Richie V.
And we got Brian on the check-in, as usual, having our backs tonight, you know? I got to be truthful. I was a little winded. I was at my son's youth football game today. It was pretty hot out there in that sun. Dude. It's nothing like youth. I mean, I'm so happy that the remainder of his games are going to be on Saturdays.
Ah, no rush.
No rush. It's Saturday. Most of the time it's Saturday evening. But today it was scheduled to start at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
But let me guess, yours wasn't the first game on the schedule.
No.
Ah, we know how this goes.
It wasn't even the third game on the schedule.
Oy.
So everything was running behind schedule. We're just out there, and I'm just standing there saying, I'm melting.
And he am.
Oh, my goodness.
How'd they do?
They lost 27-19.
All right.
But big shout-out to the Hempstead Raiders. The Valley Stream Hornets took it to them, 27-19. I will say this much. Really impactful game. It kind of brought some of my fears to mind.
Did somebody take a hard hit?
Oh, there was a couple of hard hits out there.
Okay.
On two different occasions where both teams had to take a knee.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's football.
It's football. There was one time the opposing team had the ball.
Right.
And two members of our home team just took it to them.
Okay.
And I was like, whoa. Because, I mean, yes, it's football, but at one point the kid, the back of his head hit the, you know, it's kind of like hits the helmet then hits the turf.
Hit the turf, okay.
And I'm like, you know, I mean, and to be truthful with you, one time there was, you know, the Raiders player was able to recover and get back out there.
Right.
But it's that feeling you get, Rich, when you're out there and you're watching the game and you see a player down and you're looking.
Is that mine?
Is that mind, and you're looking around, and the thing is, with them having, you know, dark colors mm-hmm. for their uniforms, I'm looking at the cleats.
Okay.
Something so it would help me differentiate right. what's happening out there, because I'm like, okay, I right. can see nothing but a kid with an all-black jersey, Raiders gear on.
They all look the same.
And they all on. Look the same, and I'm looking for the cleats. I'm like, there's his cleats.
Yeah.
Okay, he's standing up.
He's okay.
He's okay. But pretty interesting. That was the earlier part of the day. It's been a couple of weeks. Got to sit down and talk with WGBB folks. Rich, I'm thinking about, for the remainder of the year, maybe taking this biweekly.
Oh, okay.
Something we'll sit down and talk with to see, because you know what happens kind of like after October,
right? Except this year it's been kind of like after Easter.
I know. it's kind of, I mean, the great thing about having a show and having a lot of content is with ease you can push content that hasn't been played on the station,
right?
And that's not time sensitive,
right?
It's not talking about LeBron James and what he did last week,
right?
You know, at last week's game, it's none of that.
We have basic current events.
Current events.
Current tech.
A lot of conversation that does take place, it will resonate where you can play the show this week. You can play it 3 months from now.
Yep.
You can play it 2 years ago. Because it's subject matter that you could take and you can bottle up and everything else like that. But along with this, I'm thinking about, November, December. Are we going to be here or are we not going to be here?
I think we're around.
You think we're around?
I think we're around.
All right.
Maybe not December.
Maybe not December. Maybe, but we come back strong in January.
Call it after Thanksgiving break.
After Thanksgiving break. You know what we'll do? We'll do some midweek pods, and then we'll use that for Sundays.
That works.
Because we
can always find a place to record.
Yeah, because it seems like life always tends to get in the way. And that's with both of us, where things are always happening. Because, like I said, but we shall see. We shall see.
Yep.
A lot is going on. Lots going on in both of our arenas. What have you been up to?
Just life in general, basically. You know, it's been the volunteer work, the 9-to-5 work, family stuff.
It never stops.
It never stops.
It never, ever stops. I think Hurricane Dorian actually stopped by in between our breaks.
Yeah, we got a little bit of some waves, a little rough surf, a little sand, but we got nothing, and a little bit of rain. But otherwise,
Thank goodness it blew right through us. We were not located in the Bahamas.
And those poor folks in the Bahamas, a tropical depression is scheduled to turn into a tropical storm, and it's heading in that direction.
Humberto.
Yeah, those folks down there, they're barely, you can't even say they're recovered yet from.
No, they're not. They're not at all. And just to think about it, it's about to happen again.
Yeah.
I will say one story that I might say might not be able to corroborate, but I've seen on the news about Bahamians that were trying to get into the United States, and they were turned away. And it goes back to that same conversation of, you know, with the Mexicans and everything else like that.
See, I get there's two sides to that, right?
Okay.
So if you're going to turn away one group, then
do you have to turn away everyone?
Turn away. If you're going to turn away one, you have to turn away all. You can't pick and choose and say, oh, we're just going to say, no, we're just not going to let Latin Americans from south of the border come across, but we'll let, you know, from anyone from an island a couple thousand miles to the east to come across. Nope, you gotta be fair or even-handed with this kind of thing.
Okay.
Now, I mean, let's face it. We know why these people are trying to come in. Their homes have been demolished. Their island is demolished. They need help. That's why I say it's a two-handed, it's a double-sided coin there.
So, basically, from what you're saying is, it would be hypocritical if they said, okay, we'll accept the folks from the Bahamas.
It would be. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it would be hypocritical.
So
it's more that the other decision is wrong.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's face it. Short-term visa emergency. Well, I have no idea what exists or what the legal technical immigration policies are, what's available to them to be able to come in because, again, housing, everything is destroyed. But grant that to them.
But is it the case where you grant it to them, and then once they get here, you know, scatter?
They scatter, then they become criminals like everybody else, and then, yeah, ICE or whoever else is coming knocking on your door when they find you. And I think that's fair. If you come in legally, fine. Be here legally. No problem. Don't then just skip out and become illegal. Go through the process. That's all I say. Go through the process.
All right. I don't know. I guess I'm torn over this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and no, I don't want open borders, and right. I don't want this,
right.
And chain migration, and right. All of these terms that have been overused through talking points. I will say this much. It kind of feels like, you remember the 2016 election? It seems like it never actually ended.
No. Well, Trump seems like he's campaigning forever. His whole life has been, his whole term has been a campaign and one-liners and rallies upon rallies. I don't know.
I just don't get it, but I don't know. It's just like part of me says, if where you are has been totally obliterated,
right?
I think we should put something on the side to say, okay, you know what? We understand what we're going through right now.
Right.
But this right here.
Act of God, emergency, amnesty, temporary asylum. It's not political asylum. You're not being granted forever. This isn't permanent either. This is time to get things back in order.
Remember we had that discussion with their emergency preparedness group? And they were talking about go bags and all that other stuff.
Right. In this case, that wouldn't even, you know, make a difference for most of these people. I mean, sure, maybe they have, again, that 4-5 day go bag, food, temporary, you know, things like that. But that's 4 or 5 days. And when you have no home.
Right.
And when it's under 10 feet of water.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, and I don't have enough information and knowledge on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess it's, hey, you have to have, you know, you could just, you needed ID, or you didn't need a visa, or you do need a visa.
Right.
And I'm just sitting here in situations like that. How many people you know are actually prepared? Like, to have, just imagine, our loved ones was taken care of, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were safe.
Right.
But your entire block was just obliterated.
Right.
And you have nothing.
What do you do?
What do you do?
How do you prepare? How do you prepare for that?
Right. Because none of that stuff is covered. I mean, we've done discussions on emergency preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about certain things over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seriously sitting here, and I guess I'm having that moment to say to you, so what happens when your entire block? What happens when your entire subdivision is just wiped away? Your town is wiped away.
That tornado comes through.
Right.
And it's gone.
And it's gone.
You had no time to grab your go bag.
Right.
Or you weren't home to grab your go bag.
Or you weren't home to grab your go bag.
And no one else was. Right. Yeah, I mean, then you're relying on the Red Cross, relying on out-of-state family members. You're starting to find out, who can I go be with? I mean, you're looking at every resource possible. I mean, you know, sure, then there's FEMA. You're looking at government resources. You know, we're talking here in the States, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, sure, it's probably a good thing, especially for those who live in certain areas. Again, like we talk about Hurricane Alley, Tornado Alley, rather,
mm-hmm.
and the hurricane-affected zones where they know they're going to get it. You got to start putting that extraneous plan together. It's not just the house, like you're saying. What if the entire neighborhood is demolished?
Right.
You know, do you have something, you know, in, which you should actually, in the bank, in a secure lockbox, you know.
Right.
In a bank, not right by the house, but maybe right. in the next town over, something like that, a different branch where if you have to, okay, you can get to X amount of cash and some credit cards and copies of key information, things like that, and probably not a bad idea in those areas.
Cause, and I know most people that are listening to us right now are like, what in the world are they talking about? Because the life we live and, you know, in a management information system society, we're talking about disaster recovery.
Right.
So most of the time we live in a world where it's, okay, here's where you are physically located,
mm-hmm.
here's where your data center and everything is, but here's where your warm sites are, here's where things are replicated at other locations right. that are, you know, not in the immediate vicinity.
Right. It can't be, not the same grid, not the same block.
Right.
Not the same town. Best of not the same state.
I mean, but, so who prepares like that? Like, I know I don't prepare like that.
I don't prepare like that. I mean, the steps I've taken besides, you know, having a minimal go bag, which I got to restock and get together.
Uh-huh.
You know, you keep copies of primary documents online and,
uh-huh.
you know, a safe, secured format so that, you know, as long as you can get to a computer or your phone.
Right.
You can at least get the copies of things. Get the numbers, get to the things which you might need. You know, sure, maybe scan in key documents so you uh-huh. can get the copies of them in an emergency. Yeah, keep some cash handy somewhere. You know, of course, some of these things take funds to keep managing.
Yes.
So and sometimes you may think, well, I'm just doing this for something that may never happen, and, you know, hopefully it never does. But, of course, it's when it does happen, everyone or anyone is saying to themselves, man, I wish I had.
I know.
Or I should have been more prepared. Or I wish I had done things. That's the story of our lives. That's the nature of being a human, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's I don't know, it just gives you something to think about when you're just like, and I really don't want this to be about, you know,
no.
doom and gloom, but it's like, are you really prepared?
Right, right.
You know,
or it might even be more, how much can you prepare?
Okay.
You know, you can have food stores, you know, emergency type food stores, mm-hmm. not just, you can do canned stuff, of course, at home.
Right.
If you think it means, all right, I'm going to have to be at home for X amount of days and, you know, travel's restricted. I'm stuck in my house with no power.
Okay.
Right. You got to have things ready so that you can boil some water, cook some food, have some food to cook. You know, at least have 5 days worth.
You know what's so strange? I heard the government, and I think this is state government,
mm-hmm.
was now ready to tax grocery stores
mm-hmm.
that have ready-to-eat meals.
Why?
It's going to generate $100 million in the next 2 years.
And they want
to they're thinking, hey, this is... Because, you know, you go to a restaurant,
yeah.
you get taxed
You get
for
taxed,
that.
Right, right.
But yeah. if you get a ready-to-eat meal... Prepared food from a grocery store.
Right.
Previously, you weren't taxed.
And you shouldn't be.
But now...
I mean, who's eating that as their primary meal?
Right.
I mean, it may be definitely healthy. It might even taste okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to be the kind of thing you want to eat on a regular basis on demand. I think I'm going to choose my MRE mac and cheese. I just don't think so.
I think in Connecticut, tax was 6.36%.
Taxing at a lesser rate than normal? Is that what their plan is?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
But the idea is, hey, we could generate $50 million a right. year.
That's a money grab. That's all that is.
That is a money grab.
That's the money grab.
You know? And I'm just, I don't know. This is Rich and Ted. Our website is latenightparents.com. For those of you are able to also go to lnp.tv. Question for you, Rich. I mean, I guess it's kind of tiring now.
Uh-oh.
Did you see the town hall?
I did, and I wanted to, and I did not.
Okay.
All I'm hearing about is, you know, everyone, of course, Biden's the top dog, so everyone's going after him.
Yeah.
Going out of after his comments, sounds like some people feel he's been a little wishy-washy on his, I was with Barack, and I was there when he did all these things. Except when there's something not quite so positive, oh, well, that was a president. I wasn't really there for that.
Right.
I don't know. But this is all to be expected. I mean, come on.
I mean, how do you feel about him? Do you feel comfortable with him? Do you feel like out of all the candidates are there?
Right.
Who do you feel? I'm not putting you out
nah,
there.
Nah, that's all right.
I mean, and I preface this by saying I donated to Andrew Yang campaign.
Okay.
Yes, I want some of that $1,000.
Go for it, yes.
I want some of the $1,000 for the next 10 months. Yeah, I could use it. I mean, but after you break it down from taxes.
Wait, will it be taxed? See, that's the thing. $1,000. Well, will that be a tax? Or will that be give you $1,000 tax-free?
$10,000 means you're walking out with $5,250.
Right.
And then try peeling that off to some of the family
members.
And
then remember, then you're going to buy things with that, which are going to be taxed.
Yes.
So by the time it's done, you may get $4,000 of goods and services out of your $10,000.
Think of how you felt when George W. Bush gave us our refund check. You remember, like, this is like maybe...
There it is. Cha-ching.
Yeah, it was like 2006, 2007.
And it got spent.
It came in the mail and... You got your $400, and you sat there and you said, "Okay, now this is my very, very bad joke."
Go ahead.
Very bad joke. You know, and you bought your pair of Air Jordans, your LED TV.
All right, the money's gone. It's gone. There you go.
And you thought about putting tint on the window of your car, you know, and you said, "Okay, I can't splice this $400." You know, that many ways.
Yeah.
But you got it.
And it went right back into the economy.
It did.
That, like you're saying, that amount of money, it's not changing anyone's life.
No, it's not.
You're going to spend it. And it just, poof, gone. That's it.
I mean, I say, sure,
do that to every American. Except make it a number like you said. Every American, every on the records, taxpayer, $25,000.
Andrew Yang called it
tax-free
freedom dividend, is what it was called. So I don't know if you call it gimmicky or not, but I sent a donation to his campaign.
Hey, $1,000 a month, right? Is that what it is? $1,000 a month.
Well, since there's 10 families, I said, hey. Since I sent you that donation, I would like to be one of the 10. So now you get to choose from 9 other families. No, I made a donation to Andrew Yang.
Okay.
Only because he's not the standard politician.
Right. I get that.
He's coming from a different angle.
Okay.
He's not that traditional candidate.
He's got no political background.
No, and he's a multimillionaire.
Yep.
So as for super PACs and being beholden
to
X, Y,
and
Z, he's got his own money.
So you know what you should do, Ted.
What should I do?
Contact his people and let's have him on the show.
I think that'd be great.
I think that'd be great.
Like, listen, come on the show for an hour.
Let's just talk. Let's just see, you know, and that's it. Conversation, not a debate. Why not?
We'll work with Brian and Jeff. Maybe we can squeeze an extra 30 minutes out of them.
Sure. I think we could probably do that.
But, I mean... Is Biden your choice? I mean, he seems like...
He would still be my choice.
Out of the pack.
Out of the pack.
Okay.
Yes. I still want to know who he's... I haven't heard... I'm not really looking into it. who would he pick as his running mate? I've said it before. I think Biden, Warren, done. Go Biden, Warren, and you've got the presidency.
You think so?
I think so.
Not Biden, Stacey Abrams?
No, I don't think so.
No?
She's qualified. Don't get me wrong. Not you know, blowing her off in any way, shape, or form. I'm saying, do you want to solidify and be able to get that vote and beat Trump? That could be the only focus. Really, if the Democrats want to do that, what do we have to do to beat Trump?
Right.
Almost have to say, forget about policy. What do we have to do, and who do we have to put out there to beat Trump?
Right.
I think you can do it with Biden, Warren, Biden, Abrams. Let's just be honest. It's still the United States. There's going to be a group of people who will be like, I'm not sure about her. Biden, Warren, you could put that. You could do it.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Who do you think? What do you think? What would be the ticket? Or who are you looking at right now? If the election was this upcoming Tuesday,
Biden, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to say Harris.
Yeah, definitely in there. Biden Harris could maybe do it too.
I would like to say Harris. See, here's my problem. My problem is Biden. Yes.
Right.
It's going to be a hard decision for a vice president,
right?
Because I don't see Harris or Warren wanting to take a back seat.
But see, if not that they're not smart, but if they were smart, they would take it, because I think regardless, Biden is a one term.
Oh, he's definitely
because of age,
yeah,
because of situation, and then you now sat in the big chair, in the second big chair,
right?
You step in, it gives you some credence, gives you some authority. You get even more of the background, not that they're both not involved already, but then you can slide right in. And I would think he would endorse you willingly, easily, and that's that. You can lock in 12 years for the Democratic Party.
You become the president of the Senate.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, like, I don't know if you watch the show Veep. I loved
it. It was a great show. I did not watch it that often,
though. Oh, my goodness. I love watching the show Veep. And granted, it's HBO, it's comedy, right, it's satire, right. But
it's grounded in a little bit of,
yeah, fact. Because you sit there and you look back and you think, and you're like, okay, you know, the vice president is always off doing something
right.
Different.
Right. But what are they doing?
But what do they actually do? You know, I just wonder sometimes, like, I don't know if, because once you've been the vice president,
mm-hmm.
You're almost, there's nothing else you could really do.
Except go for the presidency.
But
see, you do it, no one looks at you sideways doing it.
No, but you can't go back to become a senator. You can't.
Right. See, personally, I don't think anyone should be able to go back.
You said that a long time ago.
Term limits, and you can always step up, you can't step back.
Right.
And then, you know, sure, so you can have potentially what? If you add up everything, if you started from councilman,
mm-hmm.
you could probably get, what, a good 25-year run? Something like that? So that's a career. You can make it your career. Got to keep going up. But once you're done, that's it. Step one, move on. Private life, out of politics. Thank you for your service.
I don't know. I just think as VP, I mean, you start your own whatever initiative, and you
right.
have your own.
Right. And you're allowed to, as long right. as you're doing something that doesn't go against something the president is for or states. You can start your own initiative, start your own. You can do everything that
right.
the president can do. Your own foundations,
and
you can do all of that.
Pick
a political point, just take a stance on something. Go ahead and make that part of your platform when you decide to run for presidency.
Do you see vice presidents as a role, like as someone that would be, maybe if not role or position, where you're kind of neutered?
Probably, because I would think you still don't want to take the spotlight from the boss,
right?
You know, you're
right.
still the vice,
right?
What the president says goes,
mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't be, I don't think you would be in the seat anyway if you weren't someone that the president trusted and right. felt that, you know, there was no threat, was not going to do anything stupid. But yeah, your hands are tied a little bit. You know, you just can't go and do anything you want to do.
Right. Hey, what about the other town hall, which we call Apple? Do you even watch that stuff anymore?
Nope.
Are you even wowed anymore?
Nope.
Are you excited about Apple TV being $4.99?
I could care less. It's a good play for them. I was listening to something earlier. It's a good play.
Would you pay $5 for nine shows? Would you pay $5 a month for nine shows?
That's all they have right now?
That's all they have right now, and it's more on the line of they're taking that HBO route.
Right, that's what they said. They're not going to release all episodes of any of the shows. No. They're going to release the first three.
They'll release the first three.
Get you hooked. And then go ahead and watch the remainder as they release them on a weekly basis.
Right.
That's a good play. I think that's a great idea. Of course, we have to see what kind of production value any of the shows have.
I heard it's creme de la creme.
Well, that's who they're putting together, but let's see what it looks like when it's presented.
Okay.
$5 a month, that's the right price.
$5 a month is the right price.
They're also doing the right thing. I think they're if you buy a new, pretty much any Apple device except the watch, you get a year of free service.
Okay.
And if you and are even including the refurb. So if you bought a refurb device between like now and when was it November? I think it is when it starts. Mm-hmm. You get like 3 months to sign up for the service, and you get a year of the free service if you buy any of the Apple devices. So that's a smart move. So really, you know, they're going to get subscriptions out of anyone either that just is not buying a new Apple device this year or, you know, just doesn't want to try it. You can, I think what they say for Windows users, there will be an interface to use on the web. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to access it there for PC folks. Let's just see what happens. $5 a month, that's a fair price. That's a cup of coffee, literally.
So I want to know this much. When will we get to the point where we could say, hey, $5 a month, make it like, so I subscribe to The Athletic.
Right.
It's, paywall service for sports.
Right.
And they have, you know, a lot of great writers and everything else like that. So you can pay, I think it's with your EDU address. It's $36 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you could pay it, how do they say? You could pay monthly for $3.99 a month.
Okay.
And truthfully, it makes more sense for you to pay annual.
Of course.
Because you're going to get a slight discount.
Of course.
You know, and I'm wondering, like, the Netflix of the world and all, you know, all these other streaming services out there, when will they, I think I answered my own question. They won't even have to, they would never have to offer something like that because people are just going to pay.
Right.
You know, because I'm thinking, hey, pay annual and you get 2 months for free.
Right, basically, right. And they get their check and it's right. money they can count.
But they're not strapped for cash, so I guess that doesn't
right.
benefit them.
And you still get the options, right? You can do monthly or annually with them now.
With Netflix?
I think so.
Really?
I think so. Let me check that. I think
okay.
you can.
Okay.
Or unless I'm getting one of my services mixed up.
Yeah, so I like the $5 option. Nine shows is nine shows. No matter what way you look
right,
at it.
Right, there's just not much to watch.
That's not much. This is what we're producing. That's that. And I think the Jason Momoa show, C. They said episodes are coming in at 15 mil production-wise. So I guess they're looking at this like it's Game of Thrones.
How much of that is his paycheck?
I know. It's kind of scary.
No, Netflix, no annual fee.
I'm getting
mixed up with someone else, one of the other ones. Okay. So why don't they do that? Sure. And they can all, well, Netflix now, they just have huge production expenses.
Yeah.
They can lower that fee instead of raising it.
Listen, I am at the point where I can have up to 4 or 5 logins.
Right. I've got
the I can see the 4K.
Right. Yep.
I'm not paying anymore.
Right. Done.
I am done.
I'm at the same level. 4K, 5 logins.
I'm not paying anymore.
I don't subscribe. Again, as we said, I subscribe to no music service directly.
Gotcha.
You know, again, you get Amazon because of being Amazon Plus, right? So count that. I still think I will probably end up doing the Disney Plus. You know, get all the content they offer plus the Hulu that comes with it because that's all part of it, right?
So are you going to do the Hulu, ESPN, I mean ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus for $12.99? Or
one of my options.
So you can, so I don't know if you do Hulu now.
I do not.
Okay. So Disney is $7.
Right.
But they're saying if you do Disney, ESPN Plus, and Hulu ad subscription, $12.99 for the three.
I would probably do that. I'd probably do their $12.99 for the three just to get everything. And then that's all I just, that's really all I should ever need.
Right. So at that point, when you have Netflix, you have Amazon,
right.
You have the Disney Plus package with the, so you don't need cable at that point.
Getting close to it. I'm always going to need HBO.
Okay.
Probably Showtime. I would still be end up with half of those as well because you lose those. I mean, how much does HBO go these days?
Like $15.
Right. So you start adding up the extra subscriptions. If you went, you know, again, like the ones I just mentioned, do the monthly on those, you get close to the cost of the cable.
I just want to know the difference between HBO Go and HBO Max.
Good question.
I just want to know the difference between that. Because now we're at the point where you have all these different services, and it's basically push versus pull.
Right.
Or pull versus push. And you're like, okay, I'm paying as much as I would have paid in 1995 when I had my Cablevision and Optimum Online. I mean, and you're actually paying more because the broadband is a separate,
separate fee, right?
It's a separate fee. So, I don't know. I mean, it's something to look at.
So let's see. I mean, so right now, right, they have HBO Go and HBO Now. HBO Go, you get to watch things based upon, of course, your cable subscription.
Mm-hmm.
HBO Max, let's see what the difference there is supposed to be. It's standalone like HBO Go. You don't have to have the cable. You'll get, it'll be maximized with more content. So they're going to release what they're going to call Max Originals for HBO Max. So you're going to get different content now than what is on the television service.
Confusing.
That is confusing. And I can't see how that's going to be worth like $16-17 a month.
Right. So I'm so when
I get the
go,
old stuff plus new stuff.
So when I sit down in my living room and I point the remote and I hit the three buttons that will take me to HBO.
Right.
I have that option. I also have the HBO Go option that I think I could watch. I think the shows are available as soon as they are available.
Aired on the show, on network.
Do they have to be aired already, or could you be watching it live?
Not sure. Oh no, HBO for
now.
HBO Now. I believe you can watch. You're watching it basically live.
Okay.
HBO Now is like the subscription.
Oh, okay.
The other difference that HBO Max is going to include. So after the whole Time Warner Media merger and all that, all that content is going to go under HBO Max. So as they're saying here, according to Business Insider, who quoted someone at HBO, another 10,000 hours of premium content from HBO, Warner Brothers, New Line, DC, CNN, TNT, TBS, True TV, CW, Turner Classic, Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, Crunchyroll, Rooster Teeth, Looney Tunes, and more is coming to HBO Max. So they're taking the Time Warner library to Max and not putting that on HBO Go, HBO Network, and I guess HBO Now. Therein lies the difference, I guess.
I guess.
And, of course, you get all the standard HBO. So that's what they're saying.
I still think that's confusing.
Totally. And again, another $16 a month?
Another $16 a month.
You know, maybe one of these days I'm going to sit down and actually add up what it would cost if I wanted to maintain services but cut the cable and see if it really makes financial sense with four or five boxes. When there's the difference, because you don't get everything everywhere and not everyone has the streaming thing on their TV in it, so... There's the difference. Accessibility is still an issue.
So wait, you get different channels and different boxes?
No, but if you cut the cord,
boxes. Okay. I got you. You got me lost there. I was just like, wait a minute.
No. Cut the cord, then no channels anywhere.
Okay.
And it might be good for me on my PC and my laptop and my phone.
Yes.
But the wife could be totally lost.
Right.
And be like, what happened to all the channels? Where'd everything go?
Where's everything?
Right. Where's my News 12?
Oh, my goodness. You take News 12, I tell you, the Fios One News is their version.
Yes.
Is Verizon's version of News 12.
And the two are merging soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Fios News?
Yes.
Files News and News 12 are merging.
Yes, there's something coming with News 1, News 12. News 1, same thing as Files News, right? There's some merge coming up.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I got that from a reporter.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So.
That's interesting.
There's something coming up.
So, Rich, I mean, a lot of discussion this week. A whole lot of discussion regarding e-cigarettes.
All right, so.
It seems like we go down this path, and we constantly go down this path.
I've said it before, haven't I? This is what I'm going to claim. I've said there is no way that this is going to be, quote unquote, healthy, not harmful. There's no way that, sure, less harmful than smoking cigarettes, okay. But constantly inhaling a vapor into your lungs, there's no way that could be healthy. Constantly putting moisture into your lungs that shouldn't be there, that's how you get pneumonia. I've been saying this can't be right. And, it looks like, unfortunately, it's now being identified that vaping is not nearly as, we won't even say safe, well, not nearly as less dangerous as initially put out. How many deaths now across the country within the last?
6 or 7?
Yeah, and more, and deaths, and many, many more illness, a few hundred, like 500 illness reported, something like that, all linked to vaping. Now, granted, as it seems like it's coming out, the correlations of those being affected by these illnesses, they are not sure if a lot of them have been inhaling like THC-based products, which are not approved by the manufacturer, third-party devices or third-party smoke or and vape packets, whatever you want to call them, being used. So that's part of the issue as well. You know, they tell you never inhale an oil like that. You're not supposed to do that regardless, and that's what you're doing when you're inhaling the THC. But this is now, you know, the government's getting involved, and now states, they're, you know, already looking, of course, at banning the flavors because of the
New York State.
Children. Yep,
Cuomo. New York State today.
Yep.
How is this on a weekend and New York State
is doing it?
I'm telling you, tell me Andrew Cuomo is not running in 2024.
Yeah, I say you're probably right.
You tell me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you say cutting edge if people are mucking around with laws and everything else like that,
it's him.
He's in the middle of something. Rich, I will just say, it's weird how six people die from vaping,
right,
and the federal government institutes a ban within weeks.
Right, six people. I know where you're about to go.
But 20 kindergartners, 22 people at Walmart, 49 people at a nightclub, and 58 people in a concert are shot and killed, and there's nothing that can be done. Those words were mimicked by good friend Adam S. Beck on Twitter. And it's so true.
Laws are in place.
And you have no response.
I say laws are in place, but yeah, I mean, you do have to do... Not that any of those things you want to do would have made a difference in most of those situations.
Okay.
But you can make a difference in some. And that's something.
And then we have a president up there rambling about whatever his wife's name is.
Melania.
Melania has a son. And I'm like, wait a minute. Bro, he's your son,
too. He's your son, too. Right.
And we told him no vaping.
Or maybe he doesn't have a son, and that was a guffaw.
Goodness.
Maybe he really doesn't.
Oh, my God. Painful.
And we told them no vaping. It's a very bad thing going on now in our country, this thing called vaping.
But then, the not even 24 hours later, we prefer vaping than smoking cigarettes. This is what he puts on Twitter. You just like, do you ever notice a pattern where he goes down one direction and then...
And it goes down the other direction.
Goes down the other rabbit hole.
And also people from both sides hear what he said and some percentage say, okay. And agree with him.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. That's all I have to say. I don't understand it all. Oh, but vaping, yeah. Yeah, you can see the handwriting on the wall for that. Much more regulation coming down. And it's needed to get a handle on this because of the health implications that clearly there are.
We always talk about ransomware. And between ransomware and breaches, we always talk about.
Yes.
Because it seems like it's part of our daily...
It is. It's always on our radar. We're always looking when someone calls in with an error. It's like, oh, let's check that machine. Let's see what else may be on there. Oh, okay, it looks all right.
So I've reached out to Intercom Communications. They have 240 stations across the country. And I said, don't you want to play our show?
And they said, who are you?
They said, and it was so funny because this past week, they were, like I said, when I see some of these stations that I go back and forth with, they were crippled by company-wide ransomware.
Wow.
It's Intercom.
Wow.
Like, you know, the radio giants.
Right.
Crippled for days. No email service. No internet. No phones. No music scheduling. Production, billing,
server
internal digital systems.
Wow.
Serious, man. It's really serious. And I just hope, because there was a $500,000 ransom.
Of course.
Requested.
They didn't pay it, did they?
They didn't pay.
Right. Good for them.
But we're seeing this more and more. We're starting to see, you know... A month ago, 2 months ago, when we were doing a show, we were talking about local and state governments that were like Atlanta.
Got hit.
Was hit hard, too, mm-hmm. for ransomware. You're just sitting here like, okay, after all this time, you would think, okay, let me do the bare minimum.
Right.
Let me think about this type of stuff. I don't know.
But you know how it is. You know, so much of this relies on human engineering. You can put up all the technical blocks you want. All you need is that one person to get something on their home computer and, bringing in work. bring it into the office, plug in that USB or copy that file that's infected. And, yeah, of course, you hope your files catch it, but you don't know.
I think we'll get ready to close out with what you need to know. I mean, with us being in New York, well, living out on Long Island and commuting to New York, we touch upon various different, you know, free Wi-Fi public access points.
Yep.
And at the subway that we go to every morning, we're presented with options. Because the service is provided by Transit Wireless. It's, you know, public Wi-Fi for MTA and New York City Transit. I won't say it's the best. And I can't tell you about when the last time I used it.
I use it. I use at least the one that's available in our station, which I think has a different SSID than the one in our article.
But do you use it sporadically?
Yeah, it's rare. It's like, you know, if it happens to be that I'm downstairs and either trying to download a podcast or something like that, I want to get on the machine, I'll see that I'm logged in and do it. But I'm not on there in the station to use it all that often anyway. So it's rare.
So the big question is, do you trust it?
No more than I trust any other Wi-Fi that's not in my house. I'm not going to do any banking over it. I'm not putting anything with a password related on it. I'm not going to type in a password while I'm connected to it.
So, you get a call. You get a reminder to pay the furniture bill.
Mm-hmm.
And you happen to be connected.
No, thanks. I'll wait till I get home.
You're not slightly tempted at all.
Not at all.
And these are just some suggestions we've given over the years. Be careful when using free Wi-Fi. Period.
Period.
Period. Like you said, if you're listening to a podcast or doing something that's not essential on your mobile device.
Right.
Then I say, hey, I think it's great.
Yep, it's connectivity.
But if you're doing something else, like, hey, hold on, you know, I'm on the phone with my mortgage company,
right,
and I'm going to now, you know,
click
connect
on this and submit my social security number for the application I'm about to file.
Oh my goodness,
no, stay away.
Stay away.
Now, if you're, you know, this is not the subway, we'll talk like the airports, of course, but if you're a traveler, and, you know, you got to use the Wi-Fi in the various airports because that's just part of your job. VPN. Do the VPN. They're getting cheaper and cheaper. Subscribe to one of the VPN services. At least at the bare minimum, do that, and you will do much, much towards securing or making your connectivity safer than just being on the Wi-Fi, the general Wi-Fi.
Most of the phone providers, you know,
the views expressed in the
they're starting to provide VPNs now.
They're starting to provide VPNs.
Yeah.
You know, personally, Rich, I don't use Nord.
Right.
I use Ivacy.
Okay.
I've got a 5-year commitment with them.
All right.
And I actually like them.
My biggest question is always performance. Do you see a performance hit?
Not really. Well, when I'm at home, not really.
Okay. Oh, so you even use them at home?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I use it at home. I mean, but you know what most people don't realize, I know we got to get ready to wrap up, is if you have a home router.
Oh, yeah, it's online. So if you're one of those few, your home router that might have VPN.
It might have a VPN?
Yes, most do these days. If you bought one in the last, like, 2 years, 3 years, VPN service may be part of your home router that you can enable. Take a look at that.
Really should. Really, really should. So, I think we covered quite a bit. I guess next week we'll talk about most of the wireless providers are really getting aggressive with the battling of robocalls.
Mm-hmm. And they need to.
And, I mean, it's been bad.
It's been really bad.
It's been really bad. But I say it was at its worst right after the government shutdown.
Right. Right.
It just went through the roof.
Right. What made things bad after that is all the lists that got generated and updated are now being exploited.
Yes.
So it's still, and you know, they're smart. If you see a call coming from your own exchange, but you don't recognize it,
come on,
don't pick it up. And they've got me like that a couple of times, but never, ever say hello.
Hello?
Don't answer with hello. Don't ask with anything if you don't want to. But don't say yes. Don't say no. Don't say hello. Just pick it up and listen if you happen to do that and realize that if you hear a voice, it's probably a recording.
That's true. That's true. But with that, Richard B., best way to get in contact with you?
Still, always, Late Night Rich.
And I am the real Ted Hicks, and we will be back next week, we promise.
We will. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shake-up to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The cyber station, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.